Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 120, and specifically, it's a story time episode featuring The Girl Who Owned a Bear by L. Frank Baum. If you are a new listener, then welcome to my little world of whispers. Feel free to visit my website at sleepwhispers.com if you're interested in rating the podcast, taking the podcast survey, or accessing old episodes, bonus episodes, videos, and photos. All right, tonight's story is titled The Girl Who Owned a Bear, and it's by L. Frank Baum. So, yes, it's another short story by the author of The Wizard of Oz. And to give you an overview of the story, or I guess a summary of the story, here's what it's basically about. A little girl named Jane is being looked after by Nora, who is the maid of the house. At one point, a strange man comes to the front door and gives the little girl Jane a mysterious book. Jane discovers that the characters in the book jump out of it and become alive. And first it's a clown, and then there's a monkey, a donkey, a leopard, and lastly, a bear. In the story, you'll learn how each one of those characters is quirky in its own curious way. And you'll also learn the backstory of the man who gave her the book. Alright, now on to the story, The Girl Who Owned a Bear, by L. Frank Baum. Jane's mother had gone downtown to shop. She'd asked Nora to look after Jane, and Nora promised she would. But it was her afternoon for polishing the silver, so she stayed in the pantry and left Jane to amuse herself alone in the big sitting room upstairs. The little girl didn't mind being alone, for she was working on her first piece of embroidery, a sofa pillow for Papa's birthday present. So she crept into the big bay window and curled herself up on the broad sill while she bent her brown head over her work. Soon the door opened and closed again quietly. Jane thought it was Nora, so she didn't look up until she had taken a couple more stitches on a forget-me-not. Then she raised her eyes and was astonished to find a strange man in the middle of the room who regarded her earnestly. He was short and overweight and seemed to be breathing heavily from his climb up the stairs. He held a work silk hat in one hand, and underneath his other elbow was tucked a good-sized book. He was dressed in a black suit that looked old and rather shabby, and his head was bald on the top. "Excuse me," he said, while the child gazed at him in solemn surprise. "Are you Jane Brown?" "Yes, sir," she answered. "Very good, very good indeed," he remarked, with a queer sort of smile. "I've had quite a time finding you, but I've succeeded at last." "How did you get in?" inquired Jane, with a growing distrust of her visitor. "That is a secret," he said mysteriously. This was enough to put the girl on her guard. She looked at the man, and the man looked at her, and both looks were grave and somewhat anxious. "What do you want?" she asked, straightening herself up with a dignified air. "Now we're coming to business," said the man briskly. "I'm going to be quite frank with you. To begin with, your father has wronged me in a most ungentlemanly manner." Jane got off the windowsill and pointed her small finger at the door. "Leave this room immediately," she stated. "My papa is the best man in the world. He never wronged anybody." "Allow me to explain, please," said the visitor, without paying any attention to her request to go away. "Your father may be very kind to you, for you are his little girl, you know. But when he's down in his office, he's inclined to be rather severe, especially on book agents. Now, I called on him the other day and asked him to buy the complete works of Peter Smith. And what do you suppose he did?" She said nothing. "Well," continued the man with growing excitement, "he ordered me from his office and had me put out of the building by the janitor. What do you think of such treatment as that from the best papa in the world?" "I think he was quite right," said Jane. "Oh, you do? Well," said the man, "I resolved to be revenged for the insult. So, as your father is big and strong and a dangerous man, I have decided to get my vengeance in a roundabout way." "What are you going to do?" she asked. "I'm going to present you with this book," he answered, taking it from under his arm. Then he sat down on the edge of a chair, placed his hat on the rug, and drew a fountain pen from his vest pocket. "I'll write your name in it," he said. "How do you spell Jane?" "J-A-N-E," she replied. Thank you. Now this, he continued, rising and handing her the book with a bow, is my revenge for your father's treatment of me. Perhaps he'll be sorry you didn't buy the complete works of Peter Smith. Goodbye. He walked to the door, gave her another bow, and left the room. And Jane could see that he was laughing to himself, as if very much amused. When the door had closed behind the queer little man, the child sat down in the window again and glanced at the book. It had a red and yellow cover, and the word Thingamajigs was across the front in big letters. Then she opened it curiously and saw her name written in black letters on the first white leaf. He was a funny little man, she said to herself thoughtfully. She turned the next leaf and saw a big picture of a clown dressed in green and red and yellow and having a very white face with three cornered spots of red on each cheek and over the eyes. While she looked at this book, trembled in her hands, the leaf crackled and creaked, and suddenly the clown jumped out of it and stood on the floor beside her, becoming instantly as big as any ordinary clown. After stretching his arms and legs and yawning in a rather impolite manner, he gave a silly chuckle and said, "This is better. You don't know how cramped one gets standing so long on a page of flat paper. Perhaps you can imagine how startled Jane was and how she stared at the clown who had just leaped out of the book. You didn't expect anything of this sort, did you?" he asked, looking at her in a clown fashion. Then he turned around to take a look at the room, and Jane laughed in spite of her astonishment. "What amuses you?" asked the clown. "Why, the back of you is all white," cried the girl. "You're only a clown in front of you." "Quite likely," he returned in an annoyed tone. "The artist made a front view of me. He wasn't expected to make the back of me, for that was against the page of the book. But it makes you look so funny," said Jane, laughing until her eyes were moist with tears. The clown looked sulky and sat down on a chair so she couldn't see his back. "I'm not the only thing in the book," he remarked crossly. This reminded her to turn another page, and she had scarcely noted that it contained the picture of a monkey when the animal sprang from the book with a great crumpling of paper and landed on the window seat beside her. The monkey chattered a lovely sound, springing to the girl's shoulder and then to the center table. "This is great fun. Now I can be a real monkey instead of a picture of one. Real monkeys can't talk," said Jane. "How do you know?" Have you ever been one yourself? Inquired the monkey. And then he laughed loudly, and the clown laughed too, as if he also enjoyed the remark. The girl was quite bewildered by this time. She thoughtlessly turned another page, and before she had time to look twice, a gray donkey leaped from the book and stumbled from the window seat to the floor with a great clatter. You're clumsy enough for sure, said the child, for the beast had nearly toppled her over. Clumsy, and why not? Demanded the donkey with an angry voice. If the fool artist had drawn you out of perspective, as he did me, I guess you'd be clumsy yourself. What's wrong with you? Asked Jane. My front and rear legs on the left side are nearly 6 inches too short. That's what's the matter. If that artist didn't know how to draw properly, why did he try to make a donkey at all? I don't know, replied the child, seeing an answer was expected. I can hardly stand up, grumbled the donkey, and the least little thing will topple me over. Don't mind that, said the monkey, making a spring at the chandelier and swinging from it by his tail until Jane feared he would knock all the globes off. That same artist has made my ears as big as that clown's, and everyone knows a monkey hasn't any ears to speak of, much less to draw. He should be prosecuted, remarked the clown gloomily. I haven't any back. Jane looked from one to the other with a puzzled expression on her sweet face and turned another page of the book. Swift as a flash, there sprang over her shoulder a tawny spotted leopard, which landed on the back of a big leather armchair and turned on the others with a fierce movement. The monkey climbed to the top of the chandelier and chattered with fright. The donkey tried to run and straightway tipped over on his left side. The clown grew paler than ever, but he sat still in his chair and gave a low whistle of surprise. The leopard, crouched on the back of the chair, lashed his tail from side to side and glared at all of them by turns, including Jane. Which of us are you going to attack first? Asked the donkey, trying hard to get on his feet again. I can't attack any of you, snarled the leopard. The artist made my mouth shut, so I haven't any teeth, and he forgot to make my claws, but I'm a frightful looking creature, nevertheless, am I not? Oh, yes, said the clown indifferently. I suppose you're frightful looking enough, but if you have no teeth nor claws, we don't mind your looks at all. This so annoyed the leopard that he growled horribly, and the monkey laughed at him. Just then, the book slipped from the girl's lap, and as she made a movement to catch it, one of the pages near the back opened wide. she caught a glimpse of a fierce grizzly bear looking at her from the page and quickly threw the book from her. It fell with a crash in the middle of the room, but beside it stood the great grizzly who had wrenched himself from the page before the book closed. "Now," cried the leopard from his perch, "you'd better look out for yourselves. You can't laugh at him as you did at me. The bear has both claws and teeth." "Indeed I have," said the bear in a low, deep, growling voice. "And I know how to use them too. If you read in that book, you'll find them described as a horrible, cruel, and remorseless grizzly whose only business in life is to eat everything and everybody." And then the author says, "I smack my lips and glory in my wickedness." "That's awful," said the donkey, sitting on his haunches and shaking his head sadly. "Do you eat animals also?" "The author doesn't mention that, so I'm unsure," replied the bear. "Very good," remarked the clown, drawing a long breath of relief. "You may begin snacking on Jane as soon as you wish. She laughed because I had no back. And she laughed because my legs are out of perspective," brayed the donkey. "But you also deserve to be eaten," screamed the leopard from the back of the leather chair. "For you laughed and poked fun at me because I had no claws nor teeth. Don't you suppose, Mr. Grizzly, you could manage to eat a clown, a donkey, and a monkey?" "Perhaps so, and a leopard into the bargain," growled the bear. "It will depend on how hungry I am." Jane was much frightened on hearing this conversation, and she began to realize what the man meant when he said he gave her the book to be revenged. Surely Papa would be sorry he hadn't bought the complete works of Peter Smith when he came home and found a bear, but not his daughter. The bear stood up and balanced himself on his rear legs. "This is the way I look in the book," he said. "Now watch me eat you all." He advanced slowly toward Jane, the monkey, the leopard, the donkey, and the clown. But before the grizzly reached her, the child had a sudden thought and cried out, "Stop. You mustn't eat us. It would be wrong." "Why?" asked the bear in surprise. "Because I own you. You're my private property," she answered. "I don't see how you make that out," said the bear in a disappointed tone. "Why, the book was given to me. My name's on the front leaf, and you belong by rights in the book. So you mustn't dare to eat your owner." Grizzly hesitated. he asked. I can, said the clown. Then see if she speaks the truth. Is her name really in the book? The clown picked it up and looked at the name. It is, he said. J-A-N-E, Jane, and written quite plainly in big letters. The bear sighed. Then of course I can't eat her, he decided. That author is as disappointing as most authors are, but he's not as bad as the artist, exclaimed the donkey, who was still trying to stand up straight. The fault lies with yourselves, said Jane severely. Why didn't you stay in the book where you were put? The animals looked at each other in a foolish way, and the clown blushed under his white paint. Really? Began the bear, and then he stopped short. The doorbell rang loudly. It's Mama, cried Jane, springing to her feet. She's come home at last. Now you silly creatures. But she was interrupted by them all making a rush for the book. There was a swish, and a whir, and a rustling of leaves. And an instant later, the book lay on the floor, looking just like any other book, while Jane's strange companions had all disappeared. This is the end of the story. I hope you are deeply relaxed, or even better, deeply asleep.